Now, one of the things that is very true about what we call the Western world is just the process that is used in industry when they are hiring people to work for companies. Over the various or the many years, people have improved the system of selecting the best candidate for the job. So people will apply, put in their resumes, they are invited for interview, and through this process, a determination is made who is the best candidate for the job, and based on that, they are hired. Obviously, the system does not work all the time. I think that it works most of the time, that they are able to sieve, as it were, to look through various individuals and come to a determination, this is the best person. So that if you want the best meal, you will hire the best chef. If you want your car to be well looked after, you will find the most experienced, the most knowledgeable mechanic you can find. If you want the best coach so that your team will win, you will interview various individuals until you come to the best coach. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, he went against all of that. He did not choose the best candidates, the best theologians, the most knowledgeable, the most holy, the most theologically trained. He chose just ordinary fishermen and individuals, and by his wonderful grace, they were transformed and they turned the world upside down. Now, perhaps there is no better example of that than the example of Levi. We see here in the passage to which I have called your attention in Luke. If you recall the last time that we were in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ was in this house, and the Lord Jesus Christ introduced himself to this crowd as the Son of God, the great God-man who has the right to forgive sins. And that the reason why he was performing miracles were not just to entertain people or to make them excited, that he was performing these miracles so that men and women, boys and girls, can see in Jesus Christ as the one sent by God, and he has the right to forgive our sins. So the question arises, if the Lord Jesus has the right to forgive sins, how far is he willing to go in forgiving sins? What kind of people is he willing to forgive sins? And the passage that I call your attention to this morning, the calling of Levi, answers that question. That the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to forgive the worst sinners. So read with me first and foremost in verse 27. And we are told, after these things, and what are those things? And those are the things that I was just referring to, the Lord Jesus forgiving that paralytic and then healing him. After these things, that he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. Now I ask our brother Chris to read for us in our Bible reading from Matthew, the parallel passage for this. Because in Matthew, he is actually called Matthew. It is the same individual. Before he was converted, he was Levi. And when, by the grace of God, he was converted, he became Matthew, one of the apostles of our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find here, first and foremost, the call of Levi, the tax collector. The call of Levi, the tax collector. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing and he finds Levi in his booth collecting taxes. And we are told there that he called out to him and he said to him, "Follow me." Now, just two things that we need to bear in mind with the call of Levi. Firstly, we note here that it was not Levi who was looking for the Lord Jesus. Levi was, in fact, busy at his tax booth collecting taxes. And he was not even thinking of the Lord Jesus. It is the Lord Jesus who takes the initiative. It is the Lord Jesus who is looking out for him. It is the Lord Jesus who calls him and commands him to follow me. You recall how the Lord Jesus puts it in the Gospel of John, speaking to his disciples. He says to them, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit, and fruit that will last." And we see it very clearly in the call of Levi. The Lord Jesus Christ takes the initiative. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one thinking of Levi all the time. Or perhaps if you remember the call of Nathanael in the beginning of the Gospel of John. And when Nathanael comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord informs him, "Before you saw me, I saw you right there under the tree." And Nathanael has no option but to bow down and to acknowledge, "My Lord and my God." But secondly, and I think more importantly here, the call of Levi is very important to us because of who it is that is called. It is Levi, the tax collector. Now, this is tax season, isn't it? I don't know how many of you like the IRS. But even if you do, I would like to suggest to you that you have no reason to hate them. They are God's servants appointed for this very thing, to collect taxes. But what we are reading here, this was a completely different set of circumstances. If you were a tax collector in Israel in the days of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in his flesh, it was a big deal. Tax collectors were regarded as the worst human beings that could ever exist on earth. they were regarded, perhaps it would not be an exaggeration if I say to you, the way we regard drug dealers. They were hated. They were hated because first and foremost, they were regarded as people who collaborate with an occupying force. They were collecting taxes on behalf of the Roman government. And because they were collaborators, they were on the side of the oppressor against the chosen people of God. They were hated. They were regarded as apostates. They were regarded as people who are outside the pale of people you must mix with or have any kind of social interaction with. Because tax collectors were notorious people. They were notorious sinners. Tax collectors would not be accepted in court to give witness because they were known liars. And they were corrupt. They were taking advantage of people. They were collecting much more than they were supposed to collect. In short, if there was an individual who could never be saved or be right with God, it was a tax collector. And perhaps now you can understand the gravity of what Luke is telling us. This is the individual the Lord Jesus Christ says, follow me. This is the individual who becomes a disciple of the Lord Jesus. I would like to say to you at the very outset, there is hope for us in this passage. There is hope because it tells us, it reminds us of how amazing the grace of God is to sinners like you, like me. If the Lord Jesus is able to save a tax collector, surely he is able to save you. There is no one who cannot be saved. There is no one who cannot be transformed by the grace and mercy of God. That is what this passage teaches us. That those people who we regard or think as unsavable, outside of the pale of the kind of people we think can be saved, those are the people that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. And he is often pleased to save. Here is a notorious sinner. Here is a corrupt man. Here is a self-centered sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ is full of compassion, is full of grace, and he reaches out to him and he says, follow me. The call of Levi reminds us how rich God's grace is. The call of Levi reminds us how the extent to which God is willing to go to magnify his grace in the salvation of lost, undeserving, yes, hell-deserving sinners. And I want to encourage you this morning. Perhaps you have been praying for years for a family member or a friend or an individual who you know who has consistently been going further and further away from the salvation of God in Jesus Christ our Savior. And friends, this morning I am here to give you a word of encouragement. And the word of encouragement is this: Jesus is a powerful Savior, that His grace is so much greater than the hardness of a sinner's heart, that He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through We're not reminded of Saul of Tarsus. You remember how in Acts of the Apostles we are told that there was a persecution that arose after the death of Stephen. And it was spearheaded by Saul of Tarsus. And by the time you come to the end of the life of Stephen, and you were asked to predict if Saul of Tarsus is going to be saved, I can tell you, if you were given 1 million chances to predict, 1 million chances, you will say, it is impossible that a man like Saul of Tarsus can ever be saved. Yes. What is impossible with men is possible with God. Wonder of wonders. The impossible, the most unexpected, Saul of Tarsus is saved by the sheer amazing grace of God, and he becomes the Apostle Paul. And this is exactly what happens to Levi. The amazing grace of God abounds to him. This who is an outcast, this who is regarded as an apostate, this one who is regarded as one without hope because he is such a hardened sinner, because he lives for now for himself, God is pleased in his grace to call Levi. And not only is he a believer in Jesus, God is pleased to make him an apostle. And we read his gospel, the gospel according to Matthew. Good news, my beloved friends. This is why we believe the gospel. Because only this message is the hope for sinners. What is the hope for sinners? It is that God, who is rich in mercy, will be able to reach out to them. And in spite of themselves, he will save them like he saved Levi and transformed his life and made him an apostle. So this morning, I just want you to think about the grace of God. And that's the reason why we were singing that hymn. I just hope those are not meaningless words to you. My brother, my sister, as you sit there, can you say with the hymn writer, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love a sinner condemned unclean. Are you amazed as you look at your life? Do you wonder and say, like Spurgeon, he says, it's easy for me to understand that God hates me because I'm a sinner from birth. But to say that God loves me, how can that be? Is that your experience? Are you amazed at the grace of God in your own life and experience? Like Levi, can you say, how marvelous, how wonderful, my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Oh, you are like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were not amazed. You know, they were not amazed. They thought that they deserved a place in heaven. They thought that they were right in every way. In fact, as we shall see next time that we come to this passage, they were pretty much angry that Jesus was insinuating that anybody else other than themselves can be saved. Is that your attitude? Is that the way you think about your salvation? Have you ever seen yourself for what you truly are? One who is a sinner and lost and in need of redemption. The other thing that I wanted to share with us from this passage is that not only is we amazed at the kind of person that is saved, that in the calling of Levi, we are reminded of rich Christian doctrine. In this short passage, we are reminded of the fact that all those whom become Christians, who become saved, they become saved because they were chosen by God. That's the reason why there is hope for a sinner like Levi. Why is there hope for a sinner like Levi? Well, before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us, God placed his affection and his love upon him. Not because there was anything good that Levi did. We read here, he was one of the worst and notorious sinners. But God had chosen him in eternity. And in time, the Lord Jesus Christ came to him and found him at his booth of sin and called him to himself. Not only are we reminded of election in the call of Levi, we are also reminded of what we call effectual calling. And what that means, and what that teaches in summary, is that God in his grace sends the call of the gospel to all and sundry. That when we preach the gospel, that is the call of God. God is inviting sinners to be reconciled with him through Jesus Christ. But as happens many times, that not many people yield to that call. And the scriptures teach us of another call, the effectual call, the call that comes so powerfully. It came to Levi, and Levi had no choice but to obey that call and embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is the effectual call. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in that passage in Romans chapter 8. You remember the passage we talk about, the golden chain of salvation. It says, those whom he predestined, he also called. It's a powerful call. It's an effectual call. What happens in that call is that when that call comes, it comes so powerfully that it overcomes all that resistance that we have as sinners in our hearts. And we turn to the Lord Jesus, believe in him, and follow him all the days of our lives. Or you remember how the Apostle Paul is described in Acts when he went and he said he found women were having a prayer meeting, and he says he was preaching the gospel to those women. And then he says, in the case of Lydia, he says, as Paul was preaching, he says, the Lord opened her heart so that she gave heed to the things that Paul was preaching, and she believed the message. And at the end of that meeting, she says she prevailed upon Paul and says, there's no way I'm going to leave you to just go away. You need to come to my house and have a meal. The Lord opened her heart, transformed her, made her his very own. Has that call come to you? Has the Lord opened your heart? Has the Lord drawn you irresistibly to himself and made you his child? It's amazing, the call of Levi. What things we can learn from there. But what's interesting also is the response of Levi to that call. The response of Levi to that call. It says there in verse 28, so he left all, rose up, and followed him. And him there is referring to the Lord Jesus. Now, in the ancient world, at least in the world in which we are reading about this morning, there was no better job you could have than to be a tax collector. That is why it was such an attraction that people were willing to abandon fidelity to their own nation, because there was money to be made. And yet we read that when the call of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, came to Levi, that he gave it up all. He left all and followed Jesus. Bear in mind, this was his livelihood. He was making, not just he was making money, he was making lots of money. But when that call came, he was willing, for the sake of Jesus, to give it up all. And you can imagine the people who knew him. must have been mystified. Must have regarded him as a fool. How do you give up that kind of career and follow this teacher? Of course, I mean, he's performing miracles, but that's no reason why you should leave such a brilliant career, all of that money. And people who think like that, it's only because they're only looking at what he has lost. They're not looking at what he has gained. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but lose his own soul? And Levi was willing, for the sake of being right with God, for the sake of following the Lord Jesus, to pay whatever the price was to follow Christ. And that is what it means to repent. To repent is to turn away from anything that is evil and sinful, and to turn to Christ, to turn to God, and to follow him all the days of your life. It doesn't matter what he's going to lose financially, and he did lose, but he had gained that pearl of great price, and it did not matter. There was no comparison with what he was gaining. And all those who are true children of God, all those who are the true people of God, all those who are truly called of God, they have the grace of repentance as the proof of their calling. They are willing to forsake sin. They are willing to forsake all for the sake of our Lord Jesus. Now, we have seen this before. Let me just call your attention to it in Luke chapter 5 and verse 11. You recall in this instance it was the Apostle Peter. And when he had obeyed the command of the Lord Jesus to let down the net and had caught the fish, and then he says to him, "Depart from me, for I'm a wicked man." The Lord Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is a consistent theme in the Gospels, that all those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, they did so after repenting. So repentance is, and faith, repentance and faith are those twin graces that give evidence that we truly have been called of God. And the last thing I want to say about Levi this morning is that not only did he repent, but we see much more what Levi did in verse 29. It says, "Then Levi gave him," the Lord Jesus, "a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them." So obviously, Levi was very grateful, was very thankful, that even though he had been as we said earlier, one who could not be saved. But by the grace of God, he was called to Christ. So much thankful was he that he threw a party for the Lord Jesus. And he threw that party, to which he invited all the tax collector workmates to come and attend this party. And he invited the Lord Jesus to that meal, to that party. There was a great celebration. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of them. And obviously, at this particular party, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to these tax collectors. It teaches us how much we must value our salvation. Are we truly grateful for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior? And like Levi, are we willing to do anything for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, because he has saved us? He was a grateful person. Now, as you can see, obviously, the reason why he was able to throw this party, because Levi was a wealthy man and he had a big house and he was able to afford it. And he called all his sinner friends from all walks of life. And these were all, if you like, the untouchables. And picture this in your mind. And there is the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of them. It's like today, I could only liken it, like I said earlier, to a party of drug dealers. And then you heard that they invited me. And I was there eating with them and speaking to them. You might begin to say to yourself, now, have we got the right person in our church? And that is how it appeared to the Pharisees. But that's for another day. For now, we see how grateful Levi is, and how eager he is to introduce his friends to this Messiah, this Redeemer who has called him to himself. Now that teaches us, unlike the Pharisees, that we are to engage the culture. See, we are not to be people who live in seclusion of the culture. We are to engage the culture and trust that God, by his grace, will use us to win some to the Lord Jesus. And whenever we have opportunity to speak a word for our Savior, we must do it, trusting that God is pleased to extend his grace even to those who we think cannot be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ was up and about to do his Father's will, and his Father's will was that his word, his gospel, would go to those who were outcasts, who were sinners, who were apostates, who had been written off. Not these. Those are the ones the Lord Jesus Christ fraternized with. You see how the apostles, rather the Pharisees, referred to him. They referred to him as one who eats with tax collectors and a friend of sinners. Now that was meant as an insult. We cannot follow him because he eats with tax collectors.
And he is a friend of sinners.
I want to say to us, beloved friends, that that's what God requires of us. It is to take that message that we have received by grace and engage the culture before us. Do you think that God can save liberals? Do you think that God can save lesbians? Do you think that God can save drug pushers? And my challenge to you is to say, such is the amazing grace of God that he is able to reach to the unreachable. Such is how wonderful the gospel is. It's good news to all kinds of sinners. Such is the good news of our Lord Jesus, because at the end of the day, it reminds us, however religious we may have been, that even we were just as lost as Levi. We were just as self-centered, just as selfish as Levi. And if God was pleased to show kindness to us, then we are to be reminded that the door is open for all kinds, for all sorts of sinners out there for the gospel. There is no one who is outside the reach of the amazing grace and goodness of God. Doesn't matter how hard-hearted, doesn't matter how depraved, unfair they may have been, such is the amazing grace of God. In an instant, God can transform that life and turn that violent person, that murderer, that prostitute into a penitent person, into a saint, into a Christian. And they can be able to join in with that hymn that we sang, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus." Amazed because nobody gave me a chance. Nobody thought I could. But God, who is rich in mercy, was pleased to reach down to me. My brethren, friends, this is the only hope for this world. This is the only message that will transform our societies. God in grace is pleased to save sinners. That puts a lot of responsibility on you. It means that you must not be silent. That whatever happens to you, wherever you may be, do not keep your mouth shut about this message. God saves sinners, and yes, he is pleased to use the foolishness of preaching of ordinary people like yourself to reach other sinners. So don't keep quiet. That guilty silence, whenever there is an opportunity for you to speak a word for Jesus, do not be silent. Speak that word. and believe. Leave the results in the hands of God. His grace has never failed, and it will not fail today. And those he intends to save by his grace, he will save. And save them in such a way that all the honor and the glory for their salvation will go to him. That's how God saves. Because he intends to glorify his name. He intends to put himself on display as the God who is able to save sinners. And when the day comes, his grace will be magnified. His mercy will be told and retold. How God is able to save sinner just like you and me. That wonderful hymn of John Newton. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That is the salvation of Levi. And I pray that God will so impress it upon your mind that he intends to glorify his name, that you will not keep silent about it. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful for this wonderful, amazing story of the salvation of an individual like Levi. And in the light of that salvation, we pray, Holy Father, that you will be pleased to work in our hearts and lives, that we will be so overcome with the realization of how great your mercy has been to us. And if there be any still who are dead in sin, grant that the call of Levi may be the means to encourage them to cry to the Savior for pardon and cleansing and forgiveness, that he, even in this day, might be able to save them and make them trophies of his grace. Hear us, we pray, that Jesus Christ may be honored and glorified, because we ask in his name. Amen.